Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
You're listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes all the latest news from my little world with interesting stories from the rest of the world. I'm your host, Diggy, and as usual, I will open with an Ask a Freebie question. This is where I answer questions from all of you. This week's question is from Tom. Tom has a reply for Seb. I'm not going to go back through the whole Tom and Seb saga. That's what I'm calling it. I'm calling it a saga at this point. Listen to every previous episode. But if you go back and listen to, I think it was 2 to 3 episodes ago, there is a quick recap of what happened. We are basically discussing immortality, and this is Tom's response. Tom says, Seb, thank you for your correspondence and updating us on all the terms and conditions of immortality. I have carefully considered your offer, and in the words of Duncan Bannatyne, I'm out. Diggy, I was pondering the topic of memorable adverts after you mentioned it a few weeks back. Our shared experience of memorable ads is obviously linked to terrestrial TV and ad breaks. Therefore, with the rise of streaming and decline of traditional TV, do you think the youth of today will miss out on this collective experience? Or is it replicated on our chosen form of media / entertainment? I enjoy the show. Keep it up. Thank you, Tom. Tom is a friend of the show. I was asked recently, actually, what that means. Friend of the show is somebody who I either know in real life or somebody who is a part of That's a Freebie Plus and is a frequent contributor. That's how you get friend of the show status. Tom, I actually know in real life, just for clarity's sake. So let's split this into the two parts. First of all, thank you, Tom, for your response to Seb. I'm not so sure on whether I would want to be part of that immortality either, because you get to watch your friends grow old and die. I don't think anybody wants that, really, do they? Although, you know, you can make new friends along the way, but it's not the same, is it? And to move on to the second part of Tom's question, I do think that they are missing out. It's definitely something that I notice with my children. Like, they discuss TV shows with one another. For the most part, my kids actually like the same shows, so that helps. And they're also quite good at sharing the television as well. They will watch something that the other doesn't want to watch because they know that eventually they'll get to watch something that they do want to watch. But they don't see ad breaks, and I don't even think they understand the concept of an ad break, because when adverts come on, like if we're watching something on Amazon, who have recently added advertisements to their package or the tier level that we are on, they just tune out, they turn away. Half the time they forget that they're watching the TV if an ad comes on, and they go and start doing something else, and they come back and you can tell they're like, oh, this is still on. And they just start staring at the TV again and slowly sit down and watch it, which I'm not too sure about, really. I don't know what I'd prefer them to be, as in, like, do I prefer it when they're glued to their iPads or do I prefer it when they're glued to the TV? I mean, neither are great, but at the same time, I don't buy into the hype that they're bad inherently. They're bad if you don't allow breaks, if you don't teach them how to use them responsibly. That just then becomes a babysitter. But the truth is, sometimes you need that. We all live busy lives. Sometimes you actually do need something that can just occupy them while you get on with things and do what you need to do. So I don't actually have a big problem with that kind of stuff. But yeah, so back to advertisements. They're totally missing out. They really are. That's how I've discovered what I wanted for Christmas or for my birthdays and things like that. Now we'll ask the kids what they want for Christmas or the birthdays. And I do find that the very few ads that they see are the things that they'll ask for. So they're definitely influenced by it. But they don't see enough ads to get a varied range. And like, it's always things like the LOL surprises and things like that. And it's like, well, that's not really a birthday or Christmas present material. Not your main present anyway, but that's all they've seen advertised. So they tend to ask for stuff like that. Or things they'll see in the shop. I do find that when we go to toy shops and we go to like Asda, where they've got like the toy aisle and things like that, they are a little bit more interested in what's there. They don't go looking for something specific because they know, well, they don't know what's there. So they are a bit more inquisitive, which I guess is good. They'll say like, what is this? What does it do? And, you know, well, half the time we can't tell ourselves, but when we can, we'll tell them. So yeah, I do actually think that they are missing out on something great. As much as the ads were just there to get us to spend money, I do think they were wonderful. I miss them. I miss the little jingles. Ads were amazing, which is something I never thought I'd say. So yes, thank you, Tom, for your question, and thank you for letting me know you enjoyed the show. I will indeed keep it up. Just realised what I said. You set me up there, didn't you? Anyway, if you would like to ask a question to open the show, just head to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com, where you will find the link to the new multi-purpose feedback form, which not only allows you to submit and ask a freebie question, it allows for submitting of suggestions for pod tales and general feedback as well. So this week in the news, or, you know, my week today, I really don't know what to call this section. It doesn't really matter. This is the news section. This is where I talk about myself, or everything peripheral to me, everything that's going on around me. I don't know. How do you describe it? This is just like the news section. I don't know. Anyway, so you might remember last week I mentioned that I was buying, well, I wasn't buying, I bought some LED lights for my daughter to go around the edge of her bedroom. She loves them. They're amazing. She can choose exactly, there are 100 lights on these LED lights, and she can choose a specific light on the row and change its color, change whether it's flashing or not. She loves that she can do this. She keeps creating patterns. I mentioned it last week. She keeps creating repeating patterns, loves it. So I asked my son if he wanted some, and he said, yes, I absolutely do want some. And so I bought him some, I put them up. Slight caveat, if you're going to put up LED lights, and so what I did, I went and bought little tiny plastic hooks with adhesive from just a pound shop to put them up. And I found that they're just not strong enough. They keep falling down. Not completely falling down. There's just the odd one that falls down. I've noticed it's where, like in the area of where they stood, where they would be like walking past. Like there is a section where it plugs into the wall. And because all the plug sockets in the UK are down low, generally, I have to have a section where it runs up the side of the wall. And that section where it's running up the side of the wall is the section that keeps falling down. So it's where they're walking past and they're causing a draft that causes them to pull down. So I just need a better solution. I probably just need to get those hooks that you knock into the wall with a hammer, you know, with the little pins in them, or little nails in them, sorry. I don't know. It's not desperate, but yeah, if you're putting them up, just find something that's nice and strong, because otherwise it will drive you insane that they keep falling down. So got my son the lights. There was a problem that I didn't anticipate, and that problem is that their bedrooms are close. Our bedroom is in between theirs, but because theirs are so close, they can control one another's lights. Not on purpose. Like they select their own lights from the list, but it seems like when you make changes, it changes both sets. No idea why it does that. I can't seem to do anything to stop it from doing that. But it also doesn't seem to do it all the time as well. So it must just depend on where they are in the bedroom. I've noticed if they're both sat on their beds, because they have quite high beds, you know, the ones where you climb up a ladder to them. They're not bunk beds. They have a desk underneath their beds. When they are on the beds, they don't have the issue. So basically, we've told them when you can change your lights, sit on the bed. It's the easiest way to get them to do it. That was a little problem that I didn't expect. And anyway, it's fine. It's okay. It's all sorted itself out, kind of to a degree. So something that happened this morning, well, literally like half an hour ago, well, I discovered this little problem. And guess what it involves? It involves the local Asda, as a lot of my stories do. This situation happened because they've changed the how do you put it? The entry system to Asda. So it used to just be a really big foyer, you know, like where they have the glass cube outside. Well, I know it's not completely glass, but it's, you know, the windowed cube outside that's always the foyer for every Asda I've ever been to. So you walk in and you can, there's two entrances. You go in either entrance, and there's two entrances then on the inside of Asda. You've got the one on the right and the one on the left. Now, it's always technically been the one on the left is the entrance, the one on the right is the exit, because that's from behind the tills. But realistically, everybody just walked in through both doors, and there was always baskets there for you to grab and go in. Makes sense. However, what they've decided now, and I can kind of see why they've done it. I think this particular restaurant has a lot of theft. But what they've done now is the foyer area, they've actually built a full-on barrier in the middle of it, so you can't basically walk across the whole thing. You can, if you walk in one door, you're stuck on one side, and you walk in the other door and you're stuck on the other. So they've now made it so that you can't enter Asda from one of the entrances to the foyer. You have to walk round to the other side. Again, not a huge problem, except they've done nothing to inform customers of this. So this morning I goes walking towards it, and there are massive red stickers on the doors now that say no entry, to let you know that you can't go in there. And the doors don't actually activate from the outside anymore. You can only activate them from the inside. Again, it makes sense, right? However, if somebody's coming out when you walk up, the door's open. So people that don't know are just walking in. They're walking in, and then they get into the main entrance of Asda on the inside, and you can no longer get into the supermarket without walking round and going back through the tills. So everybody's doing that, and it's just causing chaos, and people can't, nobody's looking at it and going, oh, I can see what's happened here. I'm not supposed to go in. Like, as soon as I was walking towards it and I saw the barrier through the door, and I went, oh, they've obviously changed the entrance. I'll just walk around. Like, dead obvious. So that's what I did. I walked around. You can get in just fine. They've even put the baskets so they're on the outside, so you can't even get a basket if you go in the wrong door now, which, again, it makes sense, right? So I goes around, does my shopping. As I'm coming out, there's just basically a group of people stood in the foyer going, how'd you get in? I don't know. So I said, it's easy. They've just changed the entrance, so you have to go in through that side and you come out of this side. Like, why would they do that? Like, well, it's obviously because of all the theft. Like, you can't walk in and out of this Asda without somebody pushing you out of the way while they're trying to run with a shopping trolley. And then the shopping trolley wheels lock at the door and they fall over. It happens all the time. It's hilarious. I'm really sad I'm not going to get to see that anymore. However, it's probably better for Asda this way, right? So I'm trying to get past them. So I'm trying to say, guys, you just need to go out and go around. I'm like, oh, it's stupid. I don't understand all this. And I felt like saying, it's not that you don't understand. You just don't want to understand. You've walked in, you can't get in. And instead of thinking, I know, I'll go around, look at the signs, you're stuck there. I do think, though, that Asda could have done a better job at this. Like, either do a slow transition. So make it so you, because you, it would be possible. There is a gate that you can open that would then allow people to still get in. So do a slow transition, or better yet, just have a member of staff stood at the exit, or two members of staff for protection, just in case people get rowdy. Just have them stood at the exit door, and as people walk up to the exit door, just explain the change. It's not that hard. You probably only need to do it for a day or two, and because it's going to be the same people that are going there over and over. And if it's somebody new, they're going to look up and read the signs to work out how to get in and out. Or they're going to go, oh, I can't get in there because nobody else is. It's such an easy fix. But they clearly haven't considered how stupid the general public are. We have started playing a new game in the car. The reason for this, so I've mentioned this before, the kids are not very good at being sat in the back of the car together. They don't fight, but they get really silly. And I imagine this is completely normal for all children. I don't think this is somewhat linked to my children. Actually, a friend of the show, Chris, did mention earlier this week that he reckons anybody who listens to the show that doesn't know me personally probably thinks that my kids are absolutely feral because of the things I tell people about them. And he's right, they are. They're absolutely feral. They're unbelievable. No, they're not. I'm joking. That's mean. They're not. They're actually pretty normal kids. They just do some wacky stuff at times. One of them has ADHD, as you know, which just creates some funny situations. They're not feral. I promise. Although sometimes I feel like they are, but I'm sure all parents feel like that. So anyway, we've decided, well, I say we've decided, I tried to come up with a way of stopping them from fighting. The first thing I tried was one of them always sits in the front and we alternate it every couple of weeks. That actually does work to a degree, but it's not been perfect because they start every now and then, one of them, like whoever's in the back, usually if the boy's in the back, he'll start like putting his hands through the seat and tickling the back of her head or something like that just to annoy her, because they like annoying one another. That's what I've noticed. They really like getting on each other's wick. And the other thing I've noticed is when my daughter's in the front, she's very expressive with her hands. So she will be like playing a little game in her head, or she'll be thinking about something, but she'll be, her hands will be waving about all over the place. And it's really quite distracting when I'm trying to drive. And I have to keep saying to her, keep your hands still. Or, you know, don't wave your hands in front of the mirror, things like that. And the other thing is that she's also started liking listening to music. So she might want to be listening to the radio. He doesn't. They end up fighting over it because he decides the best way to stop her from listening to the radio is to sing along with the radio. And we're like, well, you can't really stop him from singing. Unfortunately, he's not a very good singer. And he knows he's not. He does it on purpose. So I came up with the idea of playing games. But games that don't involve me having to do too much, because otherwise I'm not paying attention to what's going on. So we started the mini punch game, where you see a mini and you can punch the other person. Obviously didn't think that through, did I? Because I'm getting punched while I'm driving. The kids are trying to punch either one in the front, one in the back. And overall, I don't want to encourage them punching one another. It was just one of those ideas that came out of my head, and because we were with somebody else who was playing it, so we carried it on, and it didn't work. So I innovated a little bit. We started calling it Spot the Mini. Now, it hasn't got a proper name, but I'm calling it Spot the Mini. And what we do now is if you see a Mini driving on the road, you get a point. And we've got a little tally app on my phone. And at the end of every journey, we add the Minis to our tally that we've spotted. And whoever spots the most Minis by the end of the year, so this is something we'll do on New Year's Eve, we'll probably do it just before midnight. Whoever spotted the highest number of Minis gets the crown of King Mini, Princess Mini, Queen Mini, or Prince Mini, depending on who you are. So if you're me, my wife, my daughter, or my son. And you're going to get a little trophy as well. We've not quite decided on the trophy yet. And then what happens is, as of New Year's Day, we reset the counters and we start again. And then that person gets to be the king, queen, princess, or prince for a whole year. And then they have to hand the trophy over or keep it for the next year. This is working surprisingly well. We've been doing this for a week now. And they love it. I actually quite love it, actually. It's fun. So we've been doing that for a week, and we've had to make a few rule adjustments along the way. So the rules now are that it's only when we're in the car and we're driving, we can't count parked up minis. The mini has got to be on the road driving, and it's got to be on the same road that we are on or driving across the road that we're on. That's okay as well. So as long as it touches the road that we're on or goes in front of us, as long as we can see it in front of us, that's kind of what matters. And the reason for these rules are quite simple. Whenever we go past the car park, one of them goes, oh, there's six minis on that car park. I've counted them all. Or they'll see one parked on the driveway and count that one. And of course, you if it's on the driveway, it's always going to be in that position whenever we're going past it, certain times of the day. So we've done that so that it varies the amount of minis you're going to see. And it's worked. It's done quite well. I think currently I've got 40. My daughter's got 42. The boy has got about 9 or something like that. And my wife's got like 7. But the daughter's been in the back of the car. She's now switched. Sorry, in the front of the car. She's now switched to the back of the car. And my son's in the front of the car. So I expect his mini count to go up. My wife is the outlier because she isn't in the car with us very often. We tend to spend more time in the car. So she's allowed to count ones that she sees when she's walking, because she walks to and from work. So she's allowed to count the ones when she's walking. And for the rest of us, the rules are that we all have to be together in the car for them to count. She doesn't. She's allowed to count them when she's on her own, on her way to and from work. or then when she's in the car with us. When she's in the car with us, all the normal rules apply to her. It's only during her trip to and from work that there's any difference. It's fun. It's working. We'll probably have forgotten about it by the time New Year comes along, but I don't know the way it's going. I have a feeling we won't. There might be weeks where we completely forget to count them, but yeah, I think it's something that will go. So what I'm looking for from you listeners is, what could we use as a trophy? Now, I was actually thinking of buying a trophy, but I'd need some sort of title on the trophy that works for all of us. I was considering getting a little Matchbox mini car, and I've asked them and they don't want that for whatever reason. So I'm going to surprise them with some sort of trophy. So yeah, if you have any idea what I could use for the trophy, where I could get such a trophy, feel free to hit me up, as it were. And one last thing that I want to mention, because the minis reminded me of this. It reminded me of my first car. And I think I've mentioned this before. I may have even mentioned this whole story before. I honestly can't remember. I said last week, actually, I'm getting to the point where I'm repeating things. I have got a system in place so I could double check what I'm repeating. But that system only came into effect around episode 20-ish. So there are going to be some things that I might repeat. And, you know, as with all podcasts and conversations you have, there are things you repeat. It's just impossible not to. So I'm not going to get so hung up on that. If I repeat something, I repeat something. There are new listeners joining the show all the time. I don't expect everybody to go and listen to the full back catalogue. So you're going to miss out on stuff if I don't repeat stuff. So that's my justification for repeating things. So way back in the day, my first car was actually a Mini. It was a red Mini Cooper. I loved it. Best car I ever had. I regret getting rid of it. I will probably tell that story another time because that's not the point of this story. But it reminded me of, I used to drive around in that Mini and I used to play my music on full blast for a couple of reasons. One, I wanted my music loud. But two, and this is all coming back to me now, that it was obviously a problem. I was deaf. And I didn't know back then that I had hearing problems. I had no idea how bad my hearing actually was. So to me, it wasn't that loud. People used to say to me, your music, you do know you drive around with your music really loud. And I had the windows down, I'm sat at traffic lights, not realizing that everybody for like six or seven cars back could tell what I was listening to. And my music tastes are a little bit like odd, I suppose. Well, they're not odd. I just was always really into like popular music. So at the time, the Corrs were dead popular. And I remember that when I had that Mini, I was basically listening to the Corrs on full blast driving around town. And I was like, no, that I think back, people must have thought, what is he doing? Like this little Irish folk band blasting out of the Mini. It didn't I must have looked so crazy. It was either that or James, the band James. That's actually quite embarrassing now that I think about it. I hadn't really considered it much in the past, but yeah, so I thought I'd share that little one with you. And one last thing for the news section this week. I do want to just mention that the school holidays are upon us. They start for my children, Friday. So their last day in school is Thursday. So they will be off on Friday, which does mean that for the next however many weeks, it's a month, isn't it, really? Just a month and a bit. I will be with children, or actually there is a time when we're going away, so I will potentially miss an episode or two. I don't know. I don't want to. My plan is to always have an episode ready to go, but if that happens, so if one week you don't get an episode, don't panic. I've not forgotten. I've just not been able to record. There will be situations where I've got things that I've organized to do with the children and I just won't be able to record. So don't panic too much because I know this is the thing that you wait for every single week. If I miss an episode, it's okay. I will be back the week after. Or you know what? Let's say worst case scenario, I don't get to record at all during the summer holidays. I will be back after the summer holidays, but that's not going to happen. I will get something out, even if it's a really short episode. I will do my best to get something out every single week. There just might be something that happens where I can't. That is all. So this week, I am telling my car seat to buzz off. I thought of this one last night, actually. It's been driving me mad for ages now. And I had nothing for the buzz off section this week. Nothing had really like annoyed me. And I got in my car. I was driving home from work. And I thought to myself, why is my rear view mirror in the wrong place? I don't understand. And just as I reached up to adjust it, I realized it wasn't my rear view mirror that was in the wrong place. My car seat had dropped. So it was lower. And this happens every now and then. I don't know what's causing it. I don't know if it's going down slowly over time or if it's a case of it just suddenly drops. Or am I getting in the car so heavily and jumping down into my seat that it's causing it to drop? But it's like, you know, when you, so you have a handle that like essentially pumps it up or pumps it down. It takes a good 5 pumps to get it back up. And I notice this from time to time. I just get in the car. The car seat is really, really low to the ground. And I can barely see over the steering wheel, and I just can't work out what's doing it. So yeah, that could buzz off this week. For this week's Pod Tales, I've actually been looking forward to this one for a while because it's a conspiracy theory. Now, I'm not usually into conspiracy theories. Oh, actually, that's not true. I'm not usually the kind of person I don't want to say falls for conspiracy theories, because not all conspiracy theories are going to be false. They're just sometimes rooted in delusion is probably the only thing I can think of there. But this one is really interesting. Now, I do genuinely believe there is a little bit of truth in this one. Probably more than we know, actually, because, well, there's no doubt about it. But I do think it is a little bit over the top as well. I am talking about dead internet theory. I'm going to read to you a little bit about what dead internet theory is, and then I'll give you my thoughts on it. The dead internet theory is an online conspiracy theory that asserts that the internet now consists mainly of bot activity and automatically generated content manipulated by algorithmic curation to intentionally manipulate the population and minimize organic human activity. Proponents of the theory believe these bots were created intentionally to help manipulate algorithms and boost search results in order to manipulate consumers. Some proponents of the theory accuse government agencies of using bots to manipulate public perception. The data given for this death is generally around 2016 and 2017. I said the data then, I meant the date. The date given for this death is generally around 2016 or 2017. The dead internet theory has gained traction because many of the observed phenomena are quantifiable, such as increased bot traffic, but the literature does not support the full theory. Caroline Buster, founder of the media platform New Models, was quoted in an article in The Atlantic calling much of a dead internet theory a paranoid fantasy. Even if there are legitimate criticisms involving bot traffic and the integrity of the internet, but she also does agree with the overarching idea. In an article in the New Atlantic, Robert Mariani called the theory a mix between a genuine conspiracy theory and a creepypasta. The dead internet theory is sometimes used to refer to an observable increase in content generated via large language models, such as ChatGPT, appearing as popular internet spaces without mention of the full theory. Okay, so to break that down a little bit, right? So the whole idea of dead internet theory is that the internet is just bots talking to themselves, which, to a degree, is definitely true. Like, you will see this on Facebook a lot, and it's something that the older generation tend to fall for, as opposed to, well, actually, no, that's not entirely accurate. The younger generation do fall for it as well, but it is absolutely more of an older generation and people that are already radicalized into certain margins. Like, for example, and I'm not getting political here. I'm not trying to incite any violence with anybody. But you find like the MAGA crowd, so the Donald Trump followers, they will post a lot of ridiculous stuff online that will try and make it look like that people are trying to take away their freedoms and things like that. And a lot of the time, these are just AI-generated images, like very clearly AI-generated images with like a, it'll say, follow me, it's my birthday. In fact, there is one going around currently, and it's an old guy, and it says, I'm 107 years old, it's my birthday, all I want is likes. And it's a picture of an old guy sat in front of a birthday cake. And it is very, very clearly an AI-generated image. It looks painted. It's really that bad. And people are sharing it online and liking it and adding comments to it. But the comments that you see don't always make sense. Like somebody will write something and somebody will put like a comment just saying, it's sad, isn't it? And the truth is that was probably just a bot comment. It wasn't in any way, shape or form a real person. And that's where the whole theory sort of comes into play. There is a lot of content that's generated by AIs that's only being commented on by AIs. And then it forces it higher in the algorithm, which then gets it in front of real viewers and thus helps skew their view of the world. And it's definitely a problem, but I agree that it's probably not as big of a problem that we think it is, but it is definitely something that is getting worse. And so we need to be careful and we need to help people understand the way this works. We need to help people understand what AI generated content is. And we need to point it out when it happens. You know, if one of your relatives posts something on Facebook and it's clearly an AI generated image and they're posting it for whatever reason, it's usually sick children. Is what they do. They'll post pictures of sick children saying that this child has, you know, this terminally ill disease. The government won't do anything to help them. All they've asked for is 1,000 likes before they die and things like that. When you do a reverse image search on that photograph, if it's a photograph and not an AI-generated image, it's usually from something from 20 years ago that was completely unrelated and not even half as serious as they're making out. Point it out. Tell them. You know, they probably would want to know if they're sharing false information and contributing to this phenomenon, as it were. So, I will leave a link to the full Wikipedia article for this, because there is quite a lot of information in there. And it doesn't make for good reading out loud, because it's not in a particularly good order. But I did want to point it out to everybody. And I've got to leave a link in the show notes for a YouTube video as well, a pretty good YouTube video on it. And it describes what it is. And it describes how it's not as serious as it's being made out to be, but how it could be and how it is affecting certain demographics of people more than others. Usually it's the Facebook people, to be truthful. It's very much a shame, but you know, that's the way it is. And it's our job as people that understand this kind of thing to educate. That's a Freebie is made possible by all of you. Without you, it would be just me talking into the ether. And I could only do that for so long. If you want even more That's a Freebie, you should join. That's a Freebie Plus. Just head to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com and click on the link where you can join for just £4 a month, and you get access to the Uncut feed. This is the same show you know and love, but with zero edits and zero cuts. This means you get to hear me planning the show and all the mistakes I make along the way. And be warned though, this version of the show can contain some spicy language. The Uncut feed also includes a special That's a Freebie plus topic every single week. This week I talked about my trip to the dentist, and I also became a US citizen. If you want to know what that actually means, you need to subscribe to That's a Freebie Plus. And as if that's not enough, you also get it early, straight after recording, in fact. So I'm currently recording this on Monday at 11 a.m. Well, it's currently 11 a.m. and I'm almost finished recording. That means it will be in the That's a Freebie Plus feed by lunchtime on Monday, because all I'll need to do is cut this section out and then I'll post it. That's how much quicker you get it. So no more Thursdays. Get it on Mondays. Oh, you get it when I record it. I don't always record on a Monday. However, most of the time, I do record on a Monday. You also get access to any specials that I make and an exclusive members-only Discord server so you can chat with me and other listeners. And if you can't or you don't want to join Plus, that is okay. That's fine. Just listening helps me out. You can still help the show, though, by sharing it far and wide and leaving a review in your podcast client of choice. So please do that. So this week's pick of the week is another podcast. And like I said last week, I am going to be doing these podcasts in alphabetical order. So the first one was ATP. And this one is the next letter in the alphabet. Funnily enough, that won't always happen. It is a podcast called Biff, Superhero TV and Movies. That's B-I-F-F, Biff, just in case you couldn't understand what I said. And it is quite literally what it says in the title. It's presented by Dan Moran, who's one of my favourite authors. It's got Guy English and John Maltz are the presenters of the podcast. And they basically talk about whatever the current superhero TV or movie show is that's on. And if they haven't got one to talk about, they'll revisit something from the past. They've recently revisited all of the previous X-Men movies, and that inspired me to revisit all the previous X-Men movies as well. It's good. It's a good podcast. What can I say? You should give it a listen if you're into that kind of stuff. They tend to do an overview of every episode or movie. Then they discuss the points of the movie, and it's fun. That's what's so good about it. It's not a completely deep analytical visa, you know, where you get those videos on YouTube, the 10 things you missed in this movie. It's not that kind of stuff. It's just a, this is how I felt about it. This is what I liked. This is what I didn't like. And then they give it a rating at the end. The rating system is really hard to understand, and I'm not going to go through it right now. There are episodes where they talk about the rating system, and you do kind of get a feel of what it is that they're talking about when they're going through the ratings. And yeah, it's a good podcast. You should totally give it a listen. It's one of the podcasts on the Incomparable Network, and which you'll find that quite a few of the podcasts I listen to come from there. So yeah, give it a listen if you're into that kind of stuff. If you recall, last week, I asked the question to end the show, are you a whippy-dippy driver? First of all, I should probably quantify what that is. It's, you know, when you're driving down a road and you always get that person who's driving a car, usually a BMW or an Audi, who swerves in and out of all the traffic going around them to try and get wherever they want to go quicker. So they're whippy because they're whipping in and out of traffic, and they're dippy because it's bloody stupid, right? That's what a whippy-dippy driver is in my head. Whenever one of them swerves in and out, I always call them a whippy-dippy driver. There's one, actually, every single morning in a BMW when I'm driving to work. He comes flying down the road. He swerves around me. Now, I'm in the right-hand lane. There's two lanes, a right and a left-hand lane. He'll either drive right up my butt to get past me, and I'm not going slow. I'm doing the right speed on this road. If anything, I'm probably speeding as well a little bit because I'm trying to get to my tram on time. And he'll come along, he'll swerve around me, swerve around the car in the left-hand lane, in and out of all the cars, and then we all end up stopped at the same set of traffic lights. And that's all that ever happens. You end up stopped at the same set of traffic lights as everybody else. You get nowhere any quicker. Even when you do, when like people do that thing where they barrel down the road and they're doing 60 in a 30 zone, and you still catch up with them every single time at the traffic lights, because that's what the traffic lights are designed to do. They're designed to slow you down, and they work. And it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I can promise you that if you do that, nobody has ever looked at you and gone, oh man, you're so cool, I wish I could be like you. No, what they do is they look at you and they have a certain set of words that they use to describe you. And you're just giving other people that drive the same make of car as you do a bad name. So yeah, that's whippy-dippy drivers. I do have another question to end the show this week, and you'll be surprised to hear that this is not a driving one. I've moved on to pedestrians. I wonder how many questions I can get about pedestrians. This one is, what do you do if you realize that you need to turn around in the middle of the street?